Well, it's a big day for your pal Sully. How big a day is it? Well, I've now been around for half a century, and I have some thoughts about it. This is Locked On MLB.
You are Locked On MLB. Your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans and my friends, and welcome to Locked On MLB. This is the daily podcast. We talk about all of Major League Baseball. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please, for the last 50 years, you can always call me Sully. Today's episode is being dropped on May 14th. It's a Saturday bonus episode. And thank you so much for making us your first listen, as we're available on all your free podcasting catchers. If you want to follow us on Twitter, follow us at Locked On MLB Pod, same handle for Instagram. Be sure to tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB, or check out some of the other great shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, including Locked On Now. Let me tell you something about Locked On Now. Locked On Now is the podcast to go to if you want to hear Major League Baseball recaps. It takes you around the league where ever you want to go. Unlike any other show, you want to follow baseball, you want to follow all the sports going on. It's a magical time for sports. Recaps of Major League Baseball games with analysis from our local experts taking fans through the season like nobody else. It's free and available wherever you get your podcasts. And hey, if you want to follow me, you can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Before I give some thoughts about being around for 50 years on the planet, let's do a quick review of what's happening in baseball on Friday night, a really weird Friday night. Let's take a look. Who owned baseball? Corbin Burnes and Pablo Lopez locked antlers in a pitcher's duel. Remember those pitcher's duels? Burnes went seven innings, didn't allow a walk. Lopez, who is having a Cy Young caliber season for the Miami Marlins, he pitched seven innings himself. He struck out 11 Brewers. Neither one of them were involved in the decision. The wins and loss stat is useless. In the end, the Brewers scored a run and wound up taking that one 2-1. You want to know what was not a pitcher's duel? The Kansas City Royals and the Colorado Rockies. Final score, they were 14-10. That's right. The Chiefs beat the Broncos 14-10. Hunter Dozier went 5-for-5. And Brendan Rodgers got three hits, and he homered. In the end, KC held on to the 14-10 victory. It was also not a pitching duel. The game that went on between the Dodgers and the Phillies, which may still be going on for all I know, it was Bryce Harper had a day. Remember him? He won the MVP last year. He got on base five times, hit a home run, and Schwarber hit a home run, and there was a game-tying home run by Justin Turner. It went to extra innings. The Dodgers lost another game where they scored a pile of runs. This one was 12-10. I have a feeling this is just a hiccup along the way for the Los Angeles Dodgers. But, you know, who knows? They're not getting good pitching. You know who is getting good pitching? The Los Angeles Angels. They got another good pitching performance. And this guy, Chase Silseth, I think that's how you pronounce his name. You'll forgive me. It was his major league debut. And he made it memorable. Pitched six shutout innings in Oakland and wound up getting the victory. Going around the league, Max Scherzer pitched another very good game for the Mets. But the Mets lost it to the Seattle Mariners. Are the Mariners getting their act together? I don't know. Maybe they are. Maybe they're not. But the fact of the matter is that's two losses that Scherzer pitched in recent games. And both games he pitched brilliantly. Again, the win-loss stat tells us absolutely nothing. The Red Sox finally got a decent pitching performance. That's not fair, because actually their pitching has been the problem. Their hitting's been the problem. Pivetta pitched very well for the Red Sox. Seven innings, let up one run. And the Red Sox won, winning that one 7-1. Former Red Sox, Eduardo Rodriguez, pitched well against Baltimore. Six and a third shutout innings. You see, some of the pitchers are starting to stretch out a little bit. Remember, they did have a shortened spring training. Framber Valdez pitched into the eighth inning. The Astros are just pitching on another level right now. Everything is going the Astros' way. They were up 5-0 against the Washington Nationals before the Nationals even came to bat. And it was yet another win for the Houston Astros, another win for the New York Yankees. Josh Donaldson homered, Giancarlo Stanton homered. I think Stanton has 100 home runs so far. I may have to look up that stat. I am doing some of this from memory. But the Yankees and the Astros, the two most loved teams in baseball, the Yankees are on a five-game winning streak. They went on what? It was a 10-11-game winning streak. They lost a game. Now they're on a five-game winning streak. The Astros are on an 11-game winning streak. And the Angels are winning again. As again, they had a tiny bit of a slump, and then they played well against Oakland last night. The Twins have dusted themselves off a little bit, and they now have a three-game lead over the Chicago White Sox. The White Sox were clobbered by the Yankees yesterday, 10-4, in a CB radio one. And hey, another non-pitchers duel took place between Minnesota and Cleveland. Minnesota held on to a 12-8 victory, and the leader of the Twins was Royce Lewis. Got his first ever major league home run, made a count. It was a grand slam, and they needed all of those runs as the final score was 12-8. The Giants wound up piling it on late and defeating St. Louis by a score of 8-2. Another 8-2 game was the Reds. Break up the Reds. They nearly have 10 victories right now. And Mike Moustakas hit a pair of home runs. Take a look at who owned baseball. I mentioned Gausman and Lopez. I mentioned Bryce Harper, Hunter Dozier, Chase Silseth. I still don't pronounce his name. Brendan Rodgers. A lot of big. It's funny. You had some really good pitching performances. You had some very well pitched games, and you had some games where the pitching was, well, let's just call it what it is and call it grotesque. Who's up on my birthday? Who's playing today? Well, St. Louis and the Giants are playing. Junis versus Hudson in that one. Sean Manaea versus Charlie Morton in a kind of an interesting matchup between the Padres and the Braves. Padres picked up Robinson Cano, by the way. I like that move for the Padres. Cano can only do well because if he does badly, they can say bye-bye. It's going to cost him virtually nothing. We'll see if Diaz, who has a zero earned run average so far for the Angels, continues the solid pitching against Oakland, who's throwing Blackburn, who's actually off to a terrific start, Blackburn is. They're actually playing a doubleheader. Lorenzen and Oliver, I think. Is that who it is? I can't. I think it's TBD. I don't know. The A's and Angels are playing too. Let's play two on my birthday. You're going to see Pineda, Pintar Pineda, up against Zimmerman as the Tigers and the Orioles. The Tigers are supposed to be an up-and-coming team, and the Orioles are playing better than I thought they were. I mean, they're still having a losing record, but they're closer to 500 than the Red Sox are. But the Red Sox are going to try to do something about that as Hill is going up against Otto, and the Sox are playing the Rangers. And some other intriguing pitching matchups. You have Rodgers is pitching for the Marlins. He's off to a terrible start, and he's going up against Lauer of Milwaukee. The Blue Jays and the Rays, Ryu and Yarbrough. But if it's a Rays starting pitcher, well, he's going to throw one pitch, and then he comes to the bullpen. The Astros are going to try to make a 12 in a row. Christian Javier is going up against the Washington Nationals. And the Yankees are throwing Montgomery, who's, you know, another solid pitcher that they have. This is the best Yankee team I've seen in a decade so far. It's only a quarter of the way through the season, but they look very, very good, and that scares me. Dallas Keuchel, who used to be Dallas Keuchel, is going for the White Sox. And we're going to see if we're going to have anything resembling a pitching duel as Suarez and Urias are pitching in the Phillies versus the Dodgers. So we're going to see. It's going to be a full slate of games here in baseball on my birthday. Now, let's just take a look at what it means. 50 years ago, I was born. And there's a lot of things that when you take a look at what 50 years means in terms of perspective. You know, and Frankie Frisch was a player who played for the Gas House Gang and the Giants way back in the 20s and the 10s. George Sisler was like this great player from the 20s and the 30s for the St. Louis Browns. They were alive when I was born. Jackie Robinson was alive. So was Roberto Clemente. the great Red Sox teams of the 1910s featured a outfield that had Harry Hooper and, you know, Hall of Famer Harry Hooper. And guess what? He was alive when I was born. And I think about some of the people who weren't born. Bartolo Colon wasn't born. You know, the great shortstop class of Jeter and Rodriguez and Nomar Garcia Parra that emerged in the 1990s. And I think they had that shirtless picture of them that was in Sports Illustrated. None of them were born when I showed up. David Ortiz. Nope. Vladimir Guerrero. Nope. Bartolo Colon. Nope. That's a weird, you know, say Vladimir Guerrero. I have to emphasize, Vladimir Guerrero Sr. was not yet born. That's a weird moment when you realize every current major league player is younger than you. Seeing that I used to always look up to major league players as a, you know, they're these older heroes. And, you know, you see Albert Pujols, who's hobbling around right now as an old man. He was not born. You know, Johnny Damon, Ichiro Suzuki, Aaron Boone, Todd Helton, Kevin Youkilis, all these people not yet born when I show up. When I was born, divisional play was still in its infancy. In fact, the first year where the league championship series, the NLCS and the ALCS, were even remotely interesting was the year I was born, 1972. The first 2 years they did the league championship series, it was a complete dud. And they finally got exciting in 1972, which remains the most exciting postseason in history of baseball. I don't quite remember it when it happened live. Do you know why? I was a baby. There was no designated hitter when I was born. No DH. None. Now there's DHs everywhere, sadly. There was no baseball in Toronto. There had only been baseball for one season in Seattle before they became Milwaukee. Be a few more years before we saw the Mariners and the Blue Jays, and a bunch of years before we see any baseball in I was 20 when baseball showed up in Colorado and in Florida. And then I was, 26 when it showed up in Tampa Bay and in Arizona. There was no free agency. And the cookie cutter parks, which are all torn down, were considered new and fresh and exciting. Probably the strangest thing to happen on the day I was born, May 14, 1972, was a baseball game played at Shea Stadium. The Mets were playing the Giants, and there was 35,000 fans who showed up, mainly to see the leadoff batter for the New York Mets was their newly acquired first baseman. Who was it? Willie Mays. Willie Mays made his return to the Mets. He was traded on the 11th. We talked about this a couple of days ago, and he finally made his first appearance with the Mets on the 14th of May, 1972, while I was being born. He led off the game as the first baseman. Their outfield was Cleon Jones, Tommy Agee, and Rusty Staub. Anyone who saw the highlights of the 1969 World Series knows you probably were going to keep Tommy Agee in center field. No offense to Willie Mays, who was no longer at his peak. And Willie Mays led off the game, after the top of the first was played, he led off the game with Sam McDowell. Sam McDowell was a brilliant pitcher when he was with Cleveland. And a lot of people thought he was, you know, Cy Young caliber pitcher. And he was traded to San Francisco for Gaylord Perry. I guess the Giants are trying to unload all their Hall of Famers at this point. And McDowell was pitching now for San Francisco. And he walked Willie Mays to lead off the game. And McDowell had control issues. He was a great strikeout pitcher. But you could see in that first inning, he had control issues because he walked Willie Mays. He walked Bud Harrelson. And he walked Tommy Agee. And so you're like, okay, maybe you should throw a strike. And he threw a strike to Rusty Staub, who hit a grand slam. and then went on to strike out Cleon Jones, Jim Fregosi, and Ted Martinez. Remember, the Mets had Jim Fregosi because they traded away Nolan Ryan. That inning was an absolute microcosm of the career of Sam McDowell. Three walks, three strikeouts, and a grand slam. So Willie Mays had come back to New York, walked, and scored. Willie Mays struck out in the second inning, and then in the fifth, when the Giants rallied, Bernie Williams, no, not that Bernie Williams, the other Bernie Williams, tripled. Chris Spire, who I'm not convinced is retired, hit a double, and Tito Fuentes hit a home run off of Rice Sudeikis, and suddenly the game was tied. So, the bottom of the fifth, Don Carruthers was the relief pitcher for the Giants at that point, and leading off the bottom of the fifth, the day I was born for the Mets, was Willie Mays. And what did he do in front of a large crowd at Shea Stadium, some of whom who had rooted for him, like my dad did? My dad was a Giants fan when Willie Mays was there in New York. How did he lead off the fifth inning? He homered. The man homered against the Giants to make it 5-4. And then when the game ended, the score was 5-4. In other words, Willie Mays' home run was the game-winning home run against the Giants. And who struck out to end the game for the Giants? Bobby Bonds, Barry Bonds' son. So the day I was born, my dad's favorite player homered against my dad's favorite team, and the final strikeout was by the father of the man who would become my dad's second favorite player. And while all that was going on, my dad was not paying attention because I was being born. That's quite a day. Quite a day. And do what I did when I came out of the womb? I did my first podcast. So I just was thinking about 50 years. And look at, I don't expect there to be a second 50 years because, quite frankly, if I get to 100, great. If I get to 100, hopefully we've sold some Built Bars and the Locked On Podcast Network will still be going strong. But think about the idea of a podcast network 50 years ago. It was absurd. Think about all the ways we can consume and watch baseball. It's absurd. Think about all the subtle changes that have happened in baseball over the years. And if you go back and you watch games, I mean, go back and watch some of the games from 1972 that are on the YouTubes. And you see there's some things that are eerily similar. And you also see things that are, you know, they look a lot different. You think about what the state of baseball is going to be like in 50 years. I don't know. And neither do you. And we read stuff. And I can tell you, I can show you all the stuff where I've read stuff about how baseball is too slow. The pace of play isn't capturing the attention of younger audiences. Other games like soccer might be overtaking baseball in terms of interest amongst youth. That their players are making too much money and it's creating a sense of separation from the fans. It's kind of ruining it. Where's the loyalty? Where's the good old days? Football is going to be the sport and baseball can never recover. Very specific articles I was reading about that, about the pace of play, about the money being that the players are making are disorienting and basically ruining the connection with fans, and that how could it possibly compete with football? It's going to be dead. It's going to be dead in a generation. Those articles I was reading were written in the 1950s. You know, the golden age of baseball. My whole life I've been reading about how baseball is dying, how the next generation won't even care, blah, 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 blah. There are articles you can read from the 80s about how the money that players are making are ruining the game and what happened to the days when people just loved it for the sport. I have to make sure you realize I'm talking about the 1880s. People have been trumpeting the end of baseball since Willie Mays hit that home run in New York, and I showed up in Willimantic, Connecticut on May 14, 1972. And 50 years from now, people will be talking about how baseball is dying and it can't survive. And sometimes along the way, there will be events that jolt the game back. There are people who say, I haven't watched baseball in a while, but I really got into blank. I can't tell you the number of people what I talked to when I was up in the Bay Area when the Giants went on that great streak who said, you know, I hadn't watched baseball in years, but I loved this team. And I got so into it. I can't tell you how many people got into it during the Maguire-Sosa chase. How many people got into it when the Red Sox won in 2004. How many people got into it in this? How many people got into that? And it has ebbs and flows in its popularity. And people like me will be there no matter what. But there'll be times where it jolts and becomes a huge thing again. Shohei Ohtani was on the cover of Time recently. Not that Time magazine is the barometer of people's attention. But do you know what? It does show that sometimes there'll be someone who captures people's attention. There'll be a team that makes everyone really excited to get back into baseball. There's a reason it's been around this long. And there's a reason that people have been trumpeting the death of it since well before I showed up. And why those predictions are always going to be wrong. Because there's something primal about it. There's some connection we have with it. We enjoy the changes and we enjoy what stays stable. And 50 years from now, if I'm still doing this podcast, we're going to be still talking about it. There will be baseball played 50 years from now. And there's going to be changes. They'll probably expand into Europe. There'll probably be a designated pitcher who comes in to throw a strike when someone doesn't. I don't know. They'll make up little rules like that. I don't know. And there'll be things that we'll grind our teeth about. And stadiums will be rebuilt. And a new stadium will change the game the way that Shea Stadium changed it at one point and Camden Yards changed it at another. Things will happen. It'll jolt the game. And there'll be some event where a lot of people said, man, I haven't been to a game in so long. But this is a lot of fun. And kids who, yeah, run up and down the field and kick the soccer ball will realize that in baseball, everyone gets a turn at the plate. The kid who can barely play at one point during the game is at the plate with a bat in his hand and has a chance. In soccer, you can always kick it to the kid who thinks he's Beckham. But in baseball, everyone has their turn. And it's a fun way to spend time during the summer. And you can follow it on all your devices and everything like that and have discussions and do fantasy or enjoy the narratives or enjoy the sabermetrics or whatever. Baseball is going to live for the next 50 years. And hopefully, I would be there for a bunch of them. So thanks so much. I wanted to just give you a quick little bonus here on Saturday. It's about to start my day. Follow us at Lockdown MLB Pod. Same handle for Instagram. I am your pal, Sully. You can follow me at Sully Baseball on Twitter, Sully Baseball Podcast on Instagram. Giving you all a little bit of a 50th birthday message from the luxurious Lockdown MLB Studios. This has been Lockdown MLB for May 14, 1972. No, 2022. It all flew by. My name is Paul Francis Sullivan, and right there on the birth certificate, it says, call him Sully.